Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Breaking news this morning, broadcasting legend Larry King has died. He was 87 years old. The award-winning TV and radio host had been hospitalized with coronavirus for weeks. Promise of paid emergency housing for the homeless, how President Biden's new executive orders could help San Francisco pay for all of those leased hotel rooms. More changes from the CDC, why follow-up vaccine doses can now be spaced further apart. What will this mean for the lines of people waiting to be vaccinated? And the new recommendations on doubling up, why you should now wear two layers of masks to slow the spread. Good morning. It's Saturday, January 23rd. I'm Emily Turner. First, though, to our breaking news this morning. Veteran CNN broadcaster Larry King died this morning at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. He was 87 years old. The TV legend's death was announced via a statement to his Twitter account. CBS's Chris Martinez takes a look back at his life.
Larry King and his iconic suspenders were a fixture on nightly television for a quarter of a century. He interviewed more than 30,000 people on his CNN show, Larry King Live.
Do you ever think about being first father?
Yeah, I do.
His guests included presidents, would-be presidents, international leaders, and celebrities.
What are you, first?
Do I have to label myself?
King was born Lawrence Harvey Zeiger in Brooklyn in 1933. His first job in radio was cleaning up a station in Miami Beach. When one of the announcers abruptly quit, King was put on the air. In the years that followed, he moved to television, then back to radio, where he gained notoriety as the host of an all-night nationwide call-in radio program, The Larry King Show.
He'll be here all tonight to explain it all. We'll take emails and phone calls as well.
In 1985, King jumped to CNN with his own nightly interview show. That's where he stayed for 25 years. His style was direct, but not confrontational, making him popular among controversial guests.
I listened to answers, asked short questions, left my ego at the door, and I had a motto through my whole career, is that I never learned anything when I was talking.
In 2012, he co-founded internet streaming service Aura TV. Here, he picked up the interviewing mantle again with his show, Larry King Now.
Anything you can tell us about Star Wars 8?
That it happens.
King was married 8 times to 7 women and had 5 children. He wrote 2 books about living with heart disease after suffering a major heart attack in 1987. Over the course of his career, King won 2 Peabody Awards for excellence, 1 in radio and 1 in television, as well as 10 Cable Ace Awards. In 2011, he received an Emmy for a lifetime of achievement. Chris Martinez, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Larry King leaves behind 3 surviving children.
All right, let's transition into the forecast. There's more rain coming back on Sunday, tomorrow. Another rainmaker, very similar to the one that came in yesterday, moves across the Bay Area. But there's a much more impressive one than that coming for the middle of the week. Stronger storm getting here Wednesday and Thursday, and there could be more after that. We'll get to that later. Patchy fog out there this morning, too. So let's start off with Saturday morning. The Tri-Valleys, where we've got the issue. Visibility down to just 0.3 mile out here for Livermore. Just about 1 mile for Santa Rosa. Everybody else is doing just fine. It looks pretty from the top of the Mark Hopkins Hotel, looking back over towards the Transamerica Tower with the flag on top of the Fairmont Hotel in the foreground there. Another view. Let's get down towards 880. This is the view in the East Bay. Not looking at any fog here. Good-looking view, and the temperature, 48 degrees in Oakland right now, but it's 36 in Santa Rosa. As far as daytime highs for today, we're going to go pretty much right to average, which is going to feel cool because we were so warm for so long that to have daytime highs topping out in only the mid and upper 50s, it'll feel a lot like yesterday, but without the rain. There's no rain today. That gets you tomorrow. I'll see you with more on that in a few minutes. Emily, back over to you.
San Francisco could receive millions of dollars from an executive order signed by President Biden. The order allows emergency housing for the homeless during the pandemic to now be 100% reimbursed. It includes some of the hotels that San Francisco is leasing to shelter more than 2,000 people. The Trump administration said it would only cover 75% of the cost. It's not clear, though, if Mr. Biden's new order is retroactive. The program currently costs between $15 to $18 million a month. Taking a live look out to San Francisco this morning, city health officials are sharing some positive news when it comes to the pandemic. Data is beginning to trend in the right direction. As KPIX5's Andrea Borba reports, one infectious disease expert hopes for a reopening soon.
A nearly joyful Dr. Grant Colfax announced good news about the transmission of COVID-19 in the city of San Francisco.
Our reproductive rate, the measure of how fast the virus is propagating through the community, is below one. So that means that it is slowing down.
While the mayor indicated in a tweet things could be reopening again soon, the city is tied to the Bay Area-wide region. Across the border in San Mateo County, only three ICU beds remain open. Supervisor David Canepa is urging caution.
Right. We try to celebrate that we're making progress, but the virus humbles us every time.
Dr. Monica Gandhi, a UCSF infectious disease specialist, is advocating for things to reopen indoors at 20% capacity after a Stanford study showed transmission of the disease could be controlled, and to reopen outdoors entirely.
There's no data that shows that outdoor dining, outdoor playgrounds, outdoor recreational areas are the problem, because the natural ventilation, of course, is what reduces the risk.
Dr. Peter Chin Hong, also a UCSF infectious disease specialist, urges caution. He says while the numbers look better, there's not a lot of ICU bed buffer.
We're sitting on a very sharp edge of a cliff right now. And maybe we're one step away from the edge of the cliff.
Thus far, only one region in the state, the Greater Sacramento region, has moved out of the state's most restrictive COVID-19 tier. In San Francisco, Andrea Borba, KPIX 5.
And some more encouraging news. The CDC now says people can receive a second dose up to 6 weeks after their first shot, which is twice as long as the initial guidelines. They're seeking to bring down barriers to immunization and accelerate vaccination efforts. For more information on how to sign up for the vaccine in your county, head to kpix.com/vaccine. To the White House now. President Biden is taking action to provide help to Americans feeling the financial impacts of COVID-19. As Chris Martinez reports, the relief measures come amid vaccine shortages and concern over new variants of the virus.
With the stroke of a pen, President Biden is urging the Agriculture Department to boost pandemic food benefits for low-income families by 15%.
We cannot, will not let people go hungry.
The president signed a second executive order Friday calling for a $15 minimum wage for federal workers. As the pandemic continues its destructive path, there's new concern over a more contagious COVID variant from the UK that's detected in at least 22 states. Mutations have also been found in South Africa and Brazil.
If you have a virus that is more transmissible, you're going to get more cases. When you get more cases, you're going to get more hospitalizations. And when you get more hospitalizations, you're ultimately going to get more deaths.
To speed up lagging vaccination efforts, President Biden is invoking the Wartime Defense Production Act. 80-year-old Larry Darcy waited for his shot at a site in San Francisco.
I just hope everyone has the opportunity to get the shot as soon as they can. And I think with our new administration, that'll happen.
But it's not happening yet for many in New York City, where vaccine supply is running near empty.
Right now in New York City this week, we had to cancel tens of thousands of appointments, and we weren't allowed to tap into the second dose supply that's waiting on the shelf for weeks to be used.
New York officials are requesting permission to dip into the second dose stockpile to give to those still waiting for their first shot. Chris Martinez, CBS News.
This weekend, President Biden's economic team will meet with a bipartisan group of senators to try to find common ground on another COVID relief package. Right now, cloth and homemade masks could be a thing of the past in Europe. France is making medical-grade face masks mandatory. This follows a similar move from Germany. Here in the U.S., though, you might have started noticing some people wearing more than one mask, like Transportation Secretary nominee Pete Buttigieg at Wednesday's inauguration. That's because this week, the CDC started recommending covering your nose and your mouth with two or more layers of fabric.
More layers give more protection, so two or three layers is better than one. And the idea is to create a kind of obstacle course that helps block the virus. Now, those layers can be in a single mask or you can double mask. The fit is so very important.
A live look from Capitol Hill this morning as plans for former President Trump's second impeachment trial are now taking shape. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced she will send the article of impeachment accusing Trump of inciting an insurrection to the Senate on Monday. The trial will start the week of February 8th. Bay Area Representative Eric Swalwell is one of the impeachment managers who will argue that case. He says the delay will not make a significant difference.
And the evidence isn't going to change. And we're looking at this as every vote is up for grabs. Every senator ran for their life. Every senator sent the same text message I sent to my wife or loved one about my personal safety being threatened. So they know what happened. The senators aren't only jurors, they're victims.
Developing this morning, business owners in Morgan Hill are on edge after a rash of break-ins. Investigators say commercial burglaries are up 270% in December and January compared to that same time a year earlier. They say the break-ins seem to be following a similar pattern, happening mostly on Wednesdays between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. at businesses on Monterey Road. A manager at one restaurant there says she's heard about the spike in crime, especially in the past few weeks.
A couple restaurants have gotten broken into. I know that heat lamps have been stolen. I know that windows have been broken in.
Every day when I come here, I say, hope so nothing happened to us here, you know? I don't want this to happen to nobody.
For businesses already struggling during the pandemic, the crime trend is yet another problem that they have to deal with. Officers have stepped up their patrols, though, to try and catch whoever it is that's responsible.